Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the MobileCast. I'm Brian Katz, and we're coming to you live from Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, Spain. And I have the distinct pleasure of sitting with my good friend Eric Klein from VDC Research. Eric, can you introduce yourself? Tell us what topics you research.
Sure.
And then let's do a recap of the day at Mobile World Congress.
Absolutely, yeah. So Eric Klein with VDC Research, focused on enterprise mobility, as anyone who talks to Brian would be. And we're going to talk about day three here at MWC. It's Wednesday here in Barcelona.
Yeah, you do lose a little bit of track of the days and
yes.
Figuring out what day it is and what you're supposed to be doing. So,
and I also lose track of which direction the halls are, unfortunately, multiple times in this massive facility. But that goes with the territory.
So why don't we start with, I know you actually,
I
walked down to Hall 8 and 8-1, which is the complete other side of where we are.
Yes.
And, you know, kind of
about
curves
a mile
off
and
to
a half
the right.
Away.
And, you know, and getting from 8-1 to 8 is also not simple. It, you know, you have to figure out where you're going, unlike the rest of the halls. What did you see? What, you know, did anybody, there are a bunch of enterprise companies, a bunch of IoT, a bunch of home stuff. Anything stand out to you? Any sort of things that you see as trends?
Well, you know, I think IoT certainly remains a very, very hot thing here at MWC, and that's no surprise to anyone. Not in that hall particularly did I see anything that really, really jumped out at me. I think we were talking a little bit leading up to our little chat here about some of the things that that I thought were a little bit silly, right? You know, things like ad monetization platforms, things of that nature, right? But I did, you know, there are some interesting vendors here for sure that are doing some things that are innovative. I didn't necessarily see anyone in those halls, although I need to spend some more time in there. There are a lot of small vendors who kind of sit inside these large booths here at MWC, and, you know, every once in a while you run across one of these guys who's doing something very innovative and disruptive potentially, right? So one of those companies I would say did stand out to me here was a company called Syntonic. They do a solution for split billing that's pretty interesting.
So let's actually define what split billing is for the audience. For those
sure.
that don't know, you know, most times when you have a cell phone that your company gave you or you bring your personal phone, either you pay the bill and then you get reimbursed, or they pay the bill and they may charge you for some calls or some data. And split billing, and correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, is the ability to actually have work pay for the work stuff, home pay for, you pay for your home stuff, and you don't see each other's bills. There's
right.
no reimbursement. It's done that way.
Yeah, it's a really elegant solution if implemented properly, and I think a very attractive solution for an organization to save some money and understand where their money is being spent on their mobile data. So I think it's a really interesting thing, and you know, you're with VMware. This is something that's actually a natural integration opportunity, I think, going forward. I think some of us have been saying this for a while, and there's, I think, been some movement in this direction a little bit. But it's something that we think is going to be interesting going forward. So that's one that it's a standout. Not to call out names. I mean, I could call out a bunch of others. I typically don't do that. But like I said, I think they stood out a little
were
bit.
Besides split billing, was there any other, without a name, any other technology that you say, you know what? I see some companies doing this well. Because, you know, when I looked at split billing in the past, it was a pain.
Right.
You had to only partner with one company.
You
can only use one operator. And even then, it didn't always work. So
you couldn't be more right. That's exactly why it hasn't really flourished or had any gravitation in the market. I think that's changing. But, you know, it's going to take the carriers to come on board and understand the value proposition for themselves in the equation. And so, you know, that's the kind of barrier for this market. I think it's getting close to the point where it can be crossed. We need some more use cases where, you know, large enterprises can say, hey, you know what, we're really benefiting from this. We're starting to see a few. There's a few companies on the enterprise side, a few companies I'm watching and talk to that are having some success there.
Excellent.
It's early still, though.
To be fair, the one big thing that stood out to me in Hall 8-1 was the number of companies that were talking about mobile ads.
Yes,
and
out of control.
I'd say, I may be exaggerating a little bit, but I'd say between 20% and 30% of the booths
right.
up there, I kept seeing mobile ads, how we'll help you with mobile, how we successfully help companies with mobile ads.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to me, especially for people, you know, we start talking about ad blockers on iOS, on Android, you know, Samsung's doing, is actually shipping with an ad blocker now.
Absolutely.
So any other enterprise themes you saw today?
Yeah, an interesting company that's doing some innovative stuff around biometrics and security, for sure.
So, yeah, and I think we've seen a bunch of them here. And right. They're doing, you know, a couple startups, a couple, you know, there's one in our booth. There are a bunch of others around here. So, yeah. Certainly security and biometrics is pretty big.
Yep.
Anything else jump out at you?
I've got my eye on 5G, certainly a very hot topic here as well, right? So I think that could obviously be very disruptive to the industry writ large when it's available and ready. We're a ways away from that still, but there's a lot of vendors here talking about 5G, for sure.
Is there too much hype this early for it?
Yes, because we're far away from it, actually.
Because, you know, this reminds me when we were talking about 4G, and, you know, you go back 5-6 years ago, and we're talking about 4G. Nobody had 4G. And then you start seeing operators use 4G as the term, and it wasn't.
Yep.
And I think it does a real disservice, actually, to people.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean we shouldn't be talking about it.
Right.
But people talking about being 5G ready tomorrow, the next day, it's not there.
It absolutely is not there. And, you know, it's going to take some time. You know, we're at least probably 2 to 3 years away, I would say, from full deployment. So, you know, so, but that being said, you know, this is interesting to me because, again, the potential disruption that it could deliver to the market, you know, really turning enterprise networking on its head almost, if it fulfills the promise that it, you know, is purported to. So we'll see. Definitely something to watch and a lot of action here on it. A lot of vendors talking it up.
So you've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of different companies here today.
Yeah.
You know, you being on the analyst side and all. Anything jump out at you today or the last 3 days that, you know, any themes, the like in enterprise mobility?
Well, I think one theme that I've been noticing leading up to MWC, and it's still pretty apparent here, we saw some of it here at VMware, right? There's, I think, a notion in the ecosystem right now from large vendors like VMware that if they're smart in the way they partner, they can really benefit. And if they're smart in the way they engage with partners and go to market together, it can be really advantageous. So I'm referring, you know, to what we saw with AppConfig, right? So I think things of this nature are very, very...
Nick McGuire brought the same thing up yesterday when he did the day two recap.
Okay, so I don't mean... I didn't hear that.
No, that's okay. That's perfect because I think that's a theme. What else are you hearing?
I think... interesting progress from very big vendors in terms of mobility solutions, not for necessarily managing and securing devices, for actually app development. So the app development space is still a very, very hot space. Big companies who we all know, you know, Microsoft, IBM, Oracle, SAP, you know, in that category of company, these are the largest enterprise applications companies. And, you know, they've really kind of fumbled along in terms of mobilizing applications and figuring out how to deliver mobile apps to their customers. They've tried different methods and different things. They've kind of sputtered and, you know, fits and starts, if you will. I think I'm seeing some evidence and some pretty clear progress from some of these guys.
Yes, and I also think we're also seeing, you know, I've seen at least one rapid mobile app development firm here.
You got it.
And there are a few others, and some of them are partnering with with those big vendors. Others of them are actually challenging them.
That's right.
And it's kind of interesting to watch.
Absolutely. And then, you know, that space is important. Because it really does lower the cost of development, simplifies development. You know, it's time to value, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. It's absolutely it works. You know, is it close or exactly a native app that you're going to get on this? Not necessarily, but it's absolutely good enough for, you know, good enough isn't even the right word. It's what you need from a productivity perspective. You know, as someone who wants to, you know, further mobilize their workforce, if you're a large company. And again, it's the cost effective and the speed element that really is attractive. And
have you had the chance to talk to any of the actual visitors, either companies walking around or, you know, people that you advise and all, and get their thoughts?
A little bit, yeah. So without naming names, you know, some very large companies in oil and gas are doing some very, very innovative things with wireless technologies, very progressive things, kind of, you know, already looking at 5G and trying to understand how they can get ahead and try to really make a difference, you know, and be leaders in their categories, right? So that's an important, you know, it's a really great question, because I mean, the companies that are, you know, embracing this and really charging ahead with it, and keeping our eyes open to the changes in the ecosystem and the opportunities that the technology and innovation are delivering are the ones that are going to.
And are they hearing the things they need to hear while they're here?
Well, they're asking the questions, I think, is a better way.
You don't
know
if they're getting the right answers, but they're asking the questions.
I think they're asking the right questions, and they're certainly sniffing around a lot more. You know, I've talked to actually quite a few vendors here at MWC who have said that they've seen a significant amount more of prospective end users here. Usually there aren't as many end users at an event like this, but this year actually, not only have I seen it, many vendors I've spoken with have said, hey, there are more customers here this year, and that's a good thing. That's what we all want. I think that's what I like to see, at events like this.
My first visit to Mobile World Congress years ago was when I was actually at an enterprise, uh-huh, coming through to see what was here, and there was a lot more around devices. Nick likes to call it gadget bling. I kind of tend to agree with him, because there are more cases than you can shake a stick at.
Yep.
I was walking through Hall 8 today, and one vendor who makes a glass cover, essentially a piece of glass that covers your screen to protect it from breaking, was hitting it with a hammer. So they weren't offering to take your phone, but they had some test phones. They were sitting there, and they took a hammer out and, doing that. Walked around, saw some IoT, saw a couple of IoT and smart home things set up. And certainly, there's also the country pavilions that I saw.
Right.
And, the country pavilions are bringing some of the smaller ones, kind of like what the big vendors do where they have their partners. Countries are trying to show off what their startups and their smaller companies can do and introduce them to the world.
Yeah, that's actually always a very nice element of MWC, and there are a lot of companies within those pavilions that, are not on the radar, right? So, absolutely. I did spend some time in those pavilions as well. Yep.
And just out of curiosity, do you get the same feeling I do? We've been here for 3 days.
Yeah.
And I know that at the end of yesterday, which was day two, I already felt like I'd been through a ringer. It was already a week long.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm into my second week here. It's just, there's so much here. It's a fire hose. You're talking to people, and it's nonstop from early in the morning to late at night.
Honestly, you could literally spend the, past 7 o'clock. We leave here at 7 o'clock, which is nice, because I think they closed it at 6 last year. This year it's 7, the show floor. I could honestly stay till 9 or 10, if they kept serving drinks.
That's true. When you get late at night, they start to serve drinks at all the booths.
It makes it easier to stay, but you're right. It is a grind here because of the walking. I mean, this is actually the first trade show I've been to where I saw someone riding a Razor scooter up and down.
I actually saw somebody that I thought was great. There are a couple of people with backpacks or briefcases, and they had one of the scooters with the backpack, on the bottom. So, instead of carrying it, and being the taxi and bus and subway and bus situation, I could see scooting home a lot faster than I can see. I know somebody who walked back to the hotel from here last night.
I considered one of the city bikes on my way here this morning.
I would do the city bikes. I would consider that.
Yeah.
Any parting thoughts, Eric, on day three?
I would say, unfortunately, even though we're here for the amount of time we're here, you can't see everything. I guess that would be my parting thought. That's the massiveness of this show, right? It'd be really hard to get to everywhere you wanted to get to. So, and you ultimately don't have that time to, outside of the meetings you've scheduled, to do that. So that's I'd say the final rub for me in terms of it. Personal interest from my perspective. But final thoughts, I think it'll be interesting to see where this show moves to, I guess. I've heard that the show's lease on Barcelona runs out the year after next. Have you heard that?
I think the contract runs out in 2 years. But, I heard the same thing before they moved it to here. And so whether they re-up it or not.
We'll see.
Because, this city is just full of people.
Yeah.
There are over, they said 94,000 or 95,000 people this year.
It's a massive event, and it's definitely going to be a grind, and it's going to be a long ride home for both of us. But
absolutely,
it was great to be here, and
thank you again. Thanks for doing the day three recap.
Absolutely,
and we will catch up again soon, Eric. Listeners, we'll be back tomorrow with a recap for the final day.